So this morning I want to ask you a very important question. Do you believe in Jesus? Good answer. I mean, that seems like a fitting question in church, right? Do you believe in Jesus? Now, I've asked this question in a variety of places. And when I ask this question, do you believe in Jesus? It's funny the responses that you'll get. You know, do you believe in Jesus? Well, yes, I became a Christian at a retreat or a camp meeting or a VBS or something like that. Well, that's great, but it's not what I asked you. I didn't ask you when you became a Christian. I asked you, do you believe in Jesus? Well, I grew up in a Christian home and had good Christian parents that raised me up and did devotions with me and taught me the scriptures. Awesome. But that's still not what I asked you. I asked you, do you believe in Jesus? Well, I'm here, aren't I? Yes, you're here. And I thank you very much for being here to be able to respond to this question, do you believe in Jesus? For joining this small yet beautiful part of the bigger family of God here at Covenant. For you that have been here and have been faithful, thank you for being a part of this church. And if you're visiting, I want to thank you for your consideration of this little part of the family of God, as beautiful and as wonderful as it is. Or perhaps, when I ask that question, do you believe in Jesus? You might be saying, well, I'm not sure yet. I want to thank you for your consideration of the Christian faith and of us as believers in Jesus Christ. But whether you're new to the church or you've been around this for a little while, this question of belief in Jesus, I want you to hold this as the backdrop of what we're going to be discussing today as we continue to study the six great ends of the church. And as we go through door number 4, the preservation of the truth. Now, as good church folks, we like this one. Because when we hear following Jesus and preservation of the truth, we like to think of the truth as a gate. And we, as good Christians, are the gatekeepers of truth. And to some extent, I want to affirm that. But I'd like to take this end of the church and approach it from a little bit different trajectory, mostly because when we act as the gatekeepers of the truth, in the church, our tendency historically, not this church, but the church historically, has been to guard the gate so much that no one can enter. So this morning, I want to look at this end of the church and the preservation of the truth as we continue on this adventure of following Jesus. And I would posit to you that when we say preservation of the truth, what we are really saying is the preservation of ourselves. The reason why I ask this question of belief in Jesus, do you really believe in Jesus, is because truth is worth believing, and lies are worth nothing. And Jesus in the scriptures makes some beautiful and glorious truth claims about himself, all which point to him preserving us. And today we are going to examine 3 different passages of scripture in which Jesus makes some truth claims. And what this means for us as a church is this is going to help us to understand what it means to truly have as an end of our church preserving the truth. We're going to look at these 3 different passages, and what we're going to see is that Jesus says so much about himself with regards to truth that it leads us in a way that we are able to see how truth is actually what preserves us. So we'll look at these three different passages and the truth claims of Jesus, but first, let's pray. Our good and gracious God, we come before you today to examine your truth. Your word is truth. And Father, we may have come in here today with doubts about the truth claims that Jesus makes. And Father, we pray that you would disabuse us of that. Whatever lies that we have believed, Father, that you would clarify and crystallize in us the truth of your word today as we study together. Father, that you would use me simply as your humble servant to proclaim your truth insofar that in my wicked flesh that I'm able to. We thank you for this time to be together. In Jesus' name, amen. Our first passage of truth as we go through the door of preservation of the truth is in John 18, verses 33 through 38. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." In this interplay with Pilate and Jesus, we have this enormous truth statement about Jesus. Most importantly, what Jesus tells us in this passage is the very reason that he was born. He says, "The reason I was born was to testify to the truth." And when we look at that, and we look at another truth text in which Jesus, before Thomas, says in one of the famous truth passages of the Bible, John 14, 6, "I am the way and the truth and the life." You see what happens here when you put those two passages together? Jesus says in these two passages that he is the foundation of truth. The truth by which all other truth is measured. Jesus was born and is the God-man. And in his role, he testifies to the truth. And what he says is, "I testify to the truth." And later it says, "I am the truth." And therefore, what Jesus is saying is that I have come and I was born to testify to myself. In other words, Jesus' truth claim about himself is that he is absolute truth. Therefore, when I ask you, do you believe in Jesus? I'm asking you to believe in absolute, ultimate truth. What this means for us in a world of competing values and worldviews, over and against the truth claims of the gospel, is that we will have competing voices. There will be competing voices that if Jesus is absolute truth, that everything that we hear, everything that we say, everything that we think must be compared to that which Jesus says. And if it is not in line with what Jesus makes claim to about himself, then it has to be a lie. To listen to the competing voices of the world is to deny Jesus and to call him a liar. The world joins with Pontius Pilate and wants to plant the question in our mind, what is truth? Jesus says, "I am truth, and I was born to testify to myself." You see, there's something wonderful and glorious about the preservation of the truth. As we affirm Jesus as absolute truth and we look at this word preservation, the dictionary tells us that to preserve or preservation is to keep alive, to keep safe from harm, to maintain, to keep possession of, to prepare so as to resist death. Well, I'm hoping that we can look at this statement, preservation of the truth, and look at that definition of preservation and realize that we do none of that for the truth. But when we look at the truth claims of Jesus, if Jesus is in fact the truth as he says he is, he does all of those things for us. He keeps us. He maintains us. We belong to him. He prepares us to resist death eternally. So when we look at this, what we can say in affirming the preservation of the truth, as Jesus is the truth, that he is preserving us. However, the world wants to tell us a very different message. We're told that truth is relative, that everything is subjective, that if it's true for you, that's fine as long as there can be other truths that are true for me. Do you see the lunacy in that? You have something that is absolutely true, but yet the world wants to tell you that there is nothing that's absolute. And they want to tell you that, ironically enough, absolutely, that there's nothing that is absolutely true. You see, up against the world, when we, as believers in Jesus Christ, when we say we affirm the absolute truth of Jesus, we are either called idiots or we are called immoral. We're called idiots because how can you actually know that what this man Jesus says is actually true? And they make that claim absolutely. So at best, we're idiots. At worst, we are immoral because who is Jesus to say that he is that which all of my decisions should be measured against? Because I decide what is good and what is bad. Well, the inherent problem with that is to take on that role, is to take on something that you can't manage. That is to place yourself as the deity. Because there's nothing above you that says that anything is absolutely true. Now, your response to my question, do you believe in Jesus, was, I'm not sure yet. You may take everything that I just said and take them as the rantings of a religious fanatic. But I want you to hang on with me because what Jesus says about himself being absolutely true and being ultimate truth, here's the ultimate truth of Jesus. He loves you. Jesus loves you. You see how this all ties together logically. If Jesus' sole purpose of being born was to testify to the truth, and he himself is the truth, and he also says that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life because God so loved the world, truth came down for love's sake. Truth came down from heaven because you matter, and you matter, and all of you matter. And the ultimate truth of the gospel is that Jesus comes in the flesh to testify to the truth that he loves you and to expose the lies of the world that says you can be loved by anything and everything else that is going to be fleeting. But Jesus says, I came to testify to the truth, and the truth is, I love you. And what he says to Pilate is, those who listen to me who listen to the truth are on the side of truth. In more literal translations, it says, to those who listen to the truth, know the truth. And this is the ultimate truth of God. So when we have the competing voices that contend with the truth, the absolute truth of Jesus, we hear all of these voices echoing in society and in culture. What is truth? What is truth? This 2-millennia-old question that Pilate asks, we keep hearing it in media, at school, at work. What is truth? What is truth? That voice is competing for our ear, but in this ear where Jesus says, listen to me. Listen. I was born to testify to the truth, and I am the truth. Don't be like Pilate. Listen to the voice of Jesus. Not just once, but often. Listen to Jesus' voice and know truth and be preserved by the truth. The preservation of the truth comes by listening to the truth. And by listening to the truth, we expose the lies of the world. Who are you listening to? Do you believe in Jesus? Our second truth passage is John 14, verses 1 through 6. Do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Not only does Jesus tell us to listen to the truth, but he tells us to believe the truth. Listening to truth is good. But listening to the truth does nothing to us or for us unless acted upon. I can tell you the truth about gravity. And you can go walk off a building and go splat. Because you did not believe what I had to say to you about gravity. However, to believe is to take the truth claims of Jesus and say, I place my faith in what you have said to be true. And we do this all the time. Probably the best example of this, and you've probably heard this example before. I'm going to use my friend Chris here as an example. Chris is sitting in a chair. You got up early on Sunday morning to hear me make that profound statement. But somewhere along Chris's life, somebody told him, he listened to a voice that said that sitting in chairs is okay. And he believed that. He believed that sitting in a chair would keep his rear end off the floor. And he sat in a variety of different chairs. Some of them may be cushy. You know, you kick out the thing and it puts your feet up. They even have these great chairs that, you know, they'll massage your back and they'll, you know, they even have heaters in them. They'll warm up your tushy. It's great, you know. But Chris has placed his faith in that chair. And I didn't have to tell Chris when he came in this morning, Chris, that chair is going to hold you up. At some point in his life, he listened to the truth that chairs keep your rear end off the floor, and he believed it. But in the relationship between Chris and the chair, who does the work? The chair does. Chris had faith, but it's the chair that's doing the work of keeping him up off the floor. And that's what we come to with the truth claims of Jesus in preserving the truth for us, is that we listen to the truth about Jesus. We believe the truth about Jesus. And it is Jesus who does the work of preserving us. It is Jesus who does the work of saving us. It is Jesus who does the work of caring for us. It is He who protects us and keeps us and possesses us. He does the work and we place faith in Him. In John 14, Jesus makes a demand on the truth claims that He makes about Himself. He says, believe. Have faith in what you have heard Me say about Myself. And in this particular context, in John 14, we get this wonderful threefold statement. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way to what? Well, this passage, in context, goes very connectedly with what Pastor Jay taught us last week from John chapter 13, the foot washing passage. When you look at it in context, Jesus has just had this very intimate encounter with the disciples. But what we don't have from last week is when Jesus says to them, I am going away from you. So at the beginning of chapter 14, we have this new section introduced where Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. He's just had this beautiful encounter with the disciples and He says, I'm going away from you, but don't be troubled. That there was this fear by the disciples after this encounter that, but now what? You've told us all of this, but now you're going away. Jesus tells them in chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, in My Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to Myself. You see, when Jesus says He is the way, the truth, and the life, this threefold statement is all built on the foundation of being preserved in the truth. Because Jesus is the truth, He can be the way to the place in which He is preparing for us. Because Jesus is the truth, He is the grantor of eternal life. So when we say we are believing in Jesus, when He says, believe in Me, what He is saying is believe in what I am doing for you and what I will do for you. None of us have seen Jesus face to face. But we believe in the hope and the truth of the gospel that by listening to the voice of Jesus about what He says about truth, by believing in our hearts in what Jesus has done for us, we believe in the hope that He is preparing a place for us right now and that He will return for us again. He says, listen to Me. He says, believe in Me. And He says that because He knows that in certain times, our hearts become troubled. But we have the truth. And the truth is the confidence that we have that we can believe in a future hope. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what your circumstances are. But believe that Jesus is preparing a place for you right now. Our third truth passage is from John 8, verses 31 through 36. To the Jews who had believed in Him, Jesus said, if you hold to My teaching, you are really My disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered Him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. In the NIV it says, if you hold to My teaching. In other translations like the English Standard Version, it will say, abide in truth. And this is the third truth claim that we have of Jesus as all of these things tied together. He says, listen to truth. Listen to Me. He says, believe in the truth. Believe in Me. And then he says, abide in the truth, or live into the truth. You see, there's this logical progression that happens when Jesus says, listen, and then believe. I'm going away to prepare a place for you, but while I'm away, live in the truth. Abide in me. Abide in this truth that I have set forth before you. Because he who believes in the truth is set free. And whoever the Son has set free is set free indeed. Jesus has set you free from sin. Jesus has set me free from sin. In this truth claim, it's the culmination of listening to and believing in truth. Jesus sets up a contrast. In truth, there is freedom. In sin, there is slavery. Well, a lot of times we come to the text of the Bible and we say, well, that's hard. I can't do that. I can't see myself there because I always feel convicted by what it says. It's setting you free. It's setting you free. The biggest lies we believe are the lies that sin tells us. And our problem in our sin nature, in our flesh, is that we have spent way more time believing lies than we have listening to the truth. And as a result, we have this mixed message. That's why it's so vital for us to come to truth continually, because it sets us free. And often the biggest lies that we listen to are the lies that we have told ourselves. I want to share a personal story with you of exactly what this looks like. I've shared with you, several of you, many times about my life as a teenager, and growing up in the gang culture of Southern California before moving up to Northern Nevada, and saw a lot of wickedness, a lot of bad stuff, a lot of things that in my family, God spared me from. Unfortunately, he didn't spare everybody in my family, as my brothers still continue in that lifestyle. And one of my older brothers, Frank, who's just 2 or 3 years older than me, he's 3 years older than me, fell victim to that. Frank continued in the gang culture and as a result ended up in prison. Well, now he's in prison for the second time, and he's in prison for life as a result of a gang-related murder that he was involved in and that he led. Well, by the grace and mercy of God, Frank came to know Jesus while in prison. But one of the things that he shared with me and one of my visits with him was he said, you know, Danny, when the first time I got locked up and I got out, I had to do something to go back to prison. Because being out in the world, being out in the hood, that was prison to me. And I only felt free when I was actually locked up. So I had to do something. But then when I came to know Jesus as my Savior, I realized that all of that was a lie. And now I am in prison this side of heaven for the rest of my life. You see, for Frank, he believed the lies that the world had told him about himself. But when truth illuminated him, when truth revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ and the work he had done, Frank listened to the truth. He believed the truth. And when he believed the truth and decided to live in the truth, it exposed the lies that he was believing. And in an ironic twist in his life, although he is, for the rest of his days, going to spend the rest of his earthly life locked behind bars, the truth has set him free. And he who the Son sets free is free indeed. That is an image of us. We may not be sitting behind prison walls, but each one of us is called to listen to the truth, to believe in the truth, and to be set free in the truth as we abide in it day by day. You see, Frank came to this realization way too late in his earthly life, but in the perfect timing of God. And wherever you stand right now in your walk with God, in your faith in Jesus, know that He, Jesus, is preserving you in the truth. That you are the one who is preserved in the truth, and the truth sets us free. And as a church, what this means for us as an end is that we can in turn go out and proclaim the truth to a dying world. That we can expose the lies that the world is telling people. You see, when I look at this preservation of the truth, I'm not always a good denominational boy because, you know, we want to make this about preserving the doctrine, which good doctrine is necessary. But for me, as a church, what this means for us in preserving the truth is to say we are going to participate with Jesus in preserving others in the truth. That when we say, as the t-shirt says, we're going to follow Jesus, that we are going to follow Jesus into the adventure of testifying to the truth because that's why He was born and that's what He did for us. And that's what we do as a church to the rest of the world. That is preserving the truth. So as we circle back to this question, do you believe in Jesus? The magnitude and the weight of that question and your answer to that question says everything about preserving the truth. If we truly say we believe in Jesus, we're going to be listening to His voice over and against the competing voices of the world. When we say that we believe in Jesus, what you are saying is that you believe that He has gone to a place to prepare for you and that you can participate with preparing others for that place. When you say you believe in Jesus, you are saying right now, in the moment, you will abide in truth, that you will live in Jesus this side of heaven, to walk with Him, to listen to Him, to listen through the power of the Holy Spirit of what God is calling you to. That is preservation of the truth. And what this means for us as a church is that we can go out and proclaim it. Friends, there is a city. There's a neighborhood. I live in it, right here, across the street. Ludwigs live in it, a few blocks down. Lynhams live in it. Many of you live right here in this neighborhood. There are people in slavery right now to the lie of sin. But He who the Son sets free is free indeed. And our end as a church is to proclaim that. You may have answered my question, do you believe in Jesus? I'm not sure yet. What I have told you about Jesus and what He testifies about Himself, that He is the truth, you can hear me say it. But listen to God right now. Listen for the voice of God. Ask Him right now. I don't know what this wild guy up here is saying to me. I don't know if what he is saying is actually true. Listen to His voice right now. Just stop and say, I don't know if you're doubting. And say, God, speak to me. Tell me the truth about You. and He will set you free. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we believe in our heart of hearts for those who are called by Your name, that You are the way and the truth and the life. We thank You that You have made a way for us, that You have prepared a place for us. We thank You that You, Jesus, are the embodiment of truth, and that You came in the flesh in order to set us free. Father, there's so much more that we could say about this, and so little time to say it now. But Father, as we seek to be participants in the preservation of the truth as a church, that we would see first that it is the truth that preserves us. And as it preserves us, Father, may we be about the business of doing what Your Son did in the power of the Holy Spirit to testify to the truth and that others would listen. Father, we listen for Your voice now as You speak truth to us through Your Word day by day. And then we can go in the confidence to live and abide in the truth that You say about Yourself. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.